The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
He's Dr. Rab Stewart with the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I'm Tony Curry, owner of Tony Curry Radio, and this is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it at least 5 days a week here on the TKR app and all the tens of thousands of folks who've downloaded that app. And of course, you can also hear it on any podcast platform. We're on every major podcast platform. Just search for Tony Curry Radio or Dark Side of the Pooch. We'll get after it. He is down in Bay Minette right now. He's coming back from that area, I'm assuming, correct? You got a little vacation time?
Yeah, man, I took a few days with the wife and the kids down at the coast. So they're still there, and I'm coming back to take care of all the dark side of the poochers.
You're a good man. The show is brought to you by Ed's Pet World right there in beautiful Homewood, nearly 50 years, 979-1331. They are known for exotic pets. They've got every exotic pet you can think of. We mentioned chinchillas and sugar gliders and tarantulas and cockatoos and all kinds of great animals. Plus, it is Seth's Toy Closet. Probably takes up half the store. If you're looking for collectibles, watches, Battlestar Galactica stuff, Star Wars, whatever, still in the boxes, you got a buy, sell, or trade. He travels the country looking for the best stuff. You can do it at Ed's Pet World again, 979-1331. We're going to talk about our first pup, and we have lots of mutt mail, but I did want to share a little story for you. I've got a dear older couple of mine that had to put down their 16-year-old dog this past week named Betty. And you know, it's interesting. I've always considered my dogs a part of the family. I have not had to put a dog down recently, but I saw the pain and how difficult it was for them to do that. And I usually probably get an email a week about when do you know it's time to put down your dog? Do veterinarians actually give you advice on doing that? I know you've been really, really good about doing that type of thing. Can you talk about how difficult that is? We hope that obviously we outlive our pets, but we also hope they die on their own. But in a lot of cases, we just don't.
Well, when we talk about euthanizing a pet, most of the time the owner is going to be the best person to know, because they see the pet every day. Yeah. And they see it at home, and we don't. And when you take your pet to the vet, a lot of times they are much more lively, either because they're anxious or they're seeing people that they like to see. So you'll see them, you know, wag the tail and run around the room, or maybe not run around the room, but at least be more active than they are at home.
Yeah.
So really, you got to judge them at home, and that's why the owners are the best resource. But if you want to be as objective as you can, there's kind of three things that I tell owners to look for. And if the dog or cat has one of these three things, then it's really time to euthanize. And okay, we come to these three things after either exhausting all our diagnostic options, meaning that we have done a bunch of stuff and we can't figure out what's going on, or we can figure out that the pet has a chronic or even an acute disease that recovery is, you know, a small percentage or just not possible at all. So after we've kind of exhausted either all of our diagnostic options or the owner just says, look, I can't put any more resources into this, then we say, okay, is the pet able to eat and drink, or are they eating or drinking? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, then we need to think seriously about euthanasia.
Okay.
The next one is the animal capable of getting up and moving around on its own?
Yeah.
Okay. If that answer is no, then we need to consider euthanasia.
Yeah.
And then the last one.
Go ahead.
The last one is the inability to urinate or defecate. I'm not talking like they don't have any urine to put out, or they just don't have any poop to move out. Like there's like a mass that's obstructing the exit of those things. Yeah. Then, you know, it's time.
Yeah, I think it's really difficult, and you hear that all the time, where you have to pick your pet up to take it outside. That is certainly a sign. And listen, no pet-loving individual wants to put their pet down. So if you're thinking maybe it's time, it's probably time, right?
If you think it's time, it's time.
Yeah.
Because I think if most pet owners are, they want to keep that pet alive as long as the pet has a good quality of life. They want to keep them alive.
Yeah.
And if there's a mistake to be made, it's that they keep them around too long. Now, there are some people who, euthanize pets out of, the pet has now become an inconvenience, now, there's not many people that do that, but there are some.
Yeah. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get lots of great emails every single week. We'll do our mutt mail here in just a few seconds. You were kind enough to call me on vacation yesterday. I reached out to you. I've got an Australian Shepherd, Rainer. He's a great dog, super smart. He's very skittish. He's a breeder. He likes to herd things up. You don't want to get a cat near him. He'll chase it down. He's about 6 years old, but he's a great dog. So my next door neighbors came over last week and they said, my daughter, he said she wants an Australian Shepherd. Should we get one? And I said, well, I said, I got mine and he was already 2 years old. He was kind of set. They got rid of him because he was chasing that family's cat. And we took him on board. Was he the best breed for me at that time? No. Has he turned into the best dog I've ever had? Yes. And I said, but I've also had friends of mine that have gotten Australian Shepherd puppies. And unless they have a big yard to run in and you're willing to give it a lot of time and effort, it's probably not the best pet for you. I would rather go ahead and get a shelter pet or an adopt a pet that's got a couple of years under its belt so it's settled down a little bit. But of course the daughter was like, this is the animal I want. So yesterday I get a knock on the door and the dude's almost in tears. And he's like, dude, this dog has been with us for 3 days and I don't know what to do with it. It gets in its kennel and it just runs circles and it barks and it's just crazy. And I let it out and it just runs up and down the furniture. It's nonstop. So I called you, and what advice did you give me?
The first thing I told you was tell them to get the dog out somewhere and run it and play with it for a couple hours. Just give it constant attention, give it a constant way to use up some energy, and then after that, put it in the kennel.
Yep.
And if it doesn't want to be in the kennel, that's okay. Leave it in there until it is quiet and until it's calm for a little while. And even if it's 10 minutes, leave it in the kennel until it relaxes and it's calm and then get it out. But when you have a puppy, especially when you have a puppy that has a high energy, you've got to try to get them to, run some of that energy out. And then when they're in the house, you've got to be watching them almost all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you've really got to devote a lot of time and effort into these type dogs, into these these herding type dogs, the dogs that were made for a job. They're just, it's not a plug and play type dog. So you've got to get them a lot of activity. Then you've got to make them rest. And then you've got to keep your eye on them a lot and give them that attention until they learn what they can do and what they can't do. I think there's a lot of people out there that need to understand that dogs, they are not unlike humans. Mm-hmm. And if you think about having a baby, babies need constant attention now dogs aren't like babies in the fact that it takes years before you can 4 or 5 years old before you can trust a kid to do anything except try to kill itself.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait 4 or 5 years for a dog or cat, but you do have to wait several months, if not 6 or 8 months. Before you could trust
him. Yeah, and you brought up a great point too, and I told this to our neighbor, and the dog was very well kept when I went over there. I couldn't believe, compared to a former friend of mine's who just had one that just was nonstop, but he would not let it learn. He would not let it have any time to itself, and he would not put it in the kennel. I'm like, you got to put this dog in the kennel, and he's like, it's going to hurt itself, and you told me yesterday, it's okay. If the dog's not going to kill itself, it's not going to break a bone, but if it hurts itself, it gets its tail caught in something like that, it'll learn. It'll realize it can't do that in its kennel. And I told the neighbors, and I'm a kennel guy, dogs love kennels. They're like children. They crave discipline, and they love their kennels. And at nighttime, it's their safe place. It's the great place to go for thunderstorms or anything else. All my dogs go straight to their kennels at night. I don't even have to ask anymore. So great advice there. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. If you got to some mutt mail for us, you can find us, of course, right there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital on Facebook, Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, 208-0301. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. You can hear it at least 5 days a week right here on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your podcast. You want to do some mutt mail? We got lots of questions today.
Yeah, man. Let's
All right.
get on it.
Doug in Lake Gunnersville said, is it okay for my dog to eat raw fish? He didn't say how the dog eats raw fish. Maybe it's in the boat when he's catching the fish. Maybe it's eating some raw fish. Maybe it catches fish on its own. Is it okay?
I mean, they're not at any more risk than you or I would be eating raw fish. You know, if you like to eat sushi, you look at the bottom of the menu, and what does it say? It says, you know, the consumption of eating raw or undercooked fish can make you sick.
Yeah.
And we still do it. And, you know, dogs are the same. So as long as it doesn't, you know, upset their stomach or make them sick, they're going to be fine. But if it does make them sick, you're going to wish you hadn't have done it.
I don't think,
So when it comes to, you know, and this is a hill that I will die on. When it comes to feeding my dog anything, if it is anything other than dog food, it has been an accident. You know, it's either he got thrash or a kid dropped something.
Yeah.
If my dog gets anything other than dog food, it is an accident.
Yeah, and I would think the bones would be an issue, correct?
The bones are, I mean, if it's eating the whole fish, the bone is still not an issue.
Yeah, okay.
The bones are small, and they're going to make it to the stomach, and they are going to get broken down by that stomach acid most likely before they leave the stomach. Now, if they leave the stomach undigested, then you may have a problem if they're, you know, if the bones are too big to pass through the feces.
Yeah.
But most of the time, bones are going to be digested by the stomach acid.
That gives me constipation just talking about it. Christy and Hoover wants to know, why do cats bury their poop and dogs want to scatter it?
Well, this may be an old wives' tale. What I always heard is that cats are just covering the tracks.
Yeah.
Because they are, they're preservationists. You know, they're self-preservationists. And if they pee and they poop and they leave it around, that's going to draw animals in. Whereas dogs, they don't have as much of a survival instinct as cats do. So I think it's a self-preservation mode, instinct. And so they do it inside too, you know, with litter boxes.
That's a great answer. That is a great answer, because you think that all animals want to leave their scent. In this particular case, cats don't want people to know they're around. That makes total sense for how cats are. Great answer.
Hey, man, cats have 9 lives. They have 9 lives. Yeah, that might
true.
Be one of the reasons.
There you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch here at 5 days a week on TKR, wherever you get your podcast. Toby in Nauvoo has heard that when a dog licks your face, it's a kiss. He's also said that it's a form of submission. Which one is it?
Did you say Nauvoo?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What's his name?
Toby.
Oh, Toby. Like, I didn't know anyone actually lived in Nauvoo. I used to drive through it all the time. Like,
yes, there's a city in Nauvoo.
Yeah, well, before they built 78, like, because I'm from Haleyville. Yeah. Anybody listed from Haleyville.
Yeah.
So, you know, you go through Forestdale, and you go through Dora, and you pass the Booby Trap, and, you pass Green Top Barbecue and all that Jasper. You go through Nauvoo. So, man, I'm glad to hear that there's somebody in Nauvoo. So tell me the question again.
he said he's heard that when a dog licks your face, everyone thinks it's a kiss. He believes that it's some form of submission. Which one is it?
No, I think it's a friendly kind of thing. But a friendly thing could be a kiss or submission.
Yeah.
You know, it could be both. I don't think that they have the range of emotions that we think they do. I really think they just have a few, you know, and it's probably excitement. Or happiness, fear, or aggression. You know, so I think the licking, it could be a kiss or it could be submission, but I would put those things into the same thing, whereas it's affection. It's some form of affection.
Yeah, and I think in my particular case with my 15-year-old special needs son who likes to jump on top of the dog always sits next to him on the couch, and then he jumps on top. You can hear the dog, you know, groaning, huh, every time he kind of jumps up and down. I'm like, dude, give the dog a break. And then the dog licks his face, like right in the mouth, and he laughs, but then he stops. And so I think it's, in this particular case, a defensive situation where the dog knows if he licks his face, he's going to get a break. but he also likes to be licked in the face. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Steve in Birmingham, this is a good one, has a 12-year-old Basset who recently has had horrible gas. He hasn't changed his food, hasn't changed his exercise. What can I do to end it?
Usually gas is being, controlled by the mouse, and that's good. Maybe he hasn't changed the diet, or maybe the dog is eating something that he doesn't know about. But also, as humans get older, we can't tolerate the things we used to tolerate that we can eat. And so the same thing kind of happens to us. So if he's truly controlling the diet and nothing's changed, then you might want to think about putting the dog in a probiotic, because that might help adjust the bacterial flora in his gut, and it might help with something else.
Those Metamucil fiber gummies are working well for me. Thank you very much. Dan in Demopolis just got a pit bull puppy, but he also has two cats. He said, I've heard the show weeks and weeks and wants to know how to introduce his cats to his pit bull puppy. And regardless of the situation, if they're introduced inside, obviously the cats aren't going to run around as much. If it's out in the yard, is this something I have to keep an eye on?
Keep the dog on a leash and let the cats do their thing.
Yeah.
I think the greatest risk is not the cats hurting the dog. The greatest risk is the dog hurting the cats. So, and this might not be just a 5-minute deal. It's going to be important that the cats have a safe place. So if there's a way that he can, maybe block some of the house off so the cats can have that and not have to worry about the dog, I think that would be really ideal for the first several months. But when the dog has access to cats, keep the dog on a leash. And then once you're confident that the cats and the dog are either going to get along or the cats are going to be able to defend themselves, that's when you can kind of let your guard down.
Yeah, I think the best situation I've ever seen is where the cat just hauls off on the dog the first couple of days. I mean, just scratches across the face, and that dog will not mess with the cat again. It hurts.
But, absolutely.
That's probably a good thing. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart in the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301. He is the best. He's wonderful. Dolly in Huntsville wants to know, what's the weirdest reason a person has brought a pet into the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? What's the weirdest reason?
I don't know that I could come up with the weirdest. I maybe if I had time to think about it, I could come up with the weirdest. But a lot of times here's one. So most of the time when people say a dog is constipated or a cat is constipated, cats are a little bit different. So I'll address them separately. So a lot of times people say a dog is constipated and they're not at all constipated. They're actually having diarrhea.
Yeah,
and they're pooping out such small amounts of diarrhea. The owner's like, man, he or she keeps trying to poop and nothing's coming out. Well, something's coming out. It's just like a super small amount. It's kind of like if you've ever had a virus or eaten something bad. Like once you get emptied out, you still got that urge to poop, and so you run to the bathroom and you're already emptied out. But it's because the colon is still spasming. It's irritating. So that's just what the colon does.
I usually get on the scale. I usually get on the scale right after that because I usually lose some weight.
Yeah, so that's weird. But just in the radio stalling that I have learned to do over the 3 years, I may have thought of the weirdest thing. So fish hooks are really they're kind of weird. Like a dog will get hooked with a fish hook. They'll either bite it just like a fish, and it'll be through their lip. But I've had one actually swallow it and it gets stuck in their esophagus.
Oh.
So that was weird. A dog came in with a carabiner that was through its neck. It wasn't a real serious injury because it was just below the skin. It wasn't like it had, ripped through any important vessels or anything. But you could consider it like a fish hook. Like it was like the dog got the carabiner through and through on the neck. So it was it was trapped. It was in there. You couldn't just pull it out. So we had to anesthetize the dog and surgically, remove the carabiner from the dog's neck. So that was pretty wild.
Oh, that's horrible. That's terrible. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Mutt mail. A couple more questions here. Dark Side of the Pooch. And keep them coming, man. Keep sending them. We'll read them all. And I know sometimes we go back and rehash some things, and we'll certainly do that. Abe in Birmingham wants you to end a TikTok debate. Is it ever okay to put your dog poop in someone else's trash can? Since we have to walk neighborhoods now where you got to walk around with bags, you go to any park, you have to pick up bags. And it's funny because if they don't have bags at the park, I don't walk around with plastic bags. And I certainly don't like picking up dog poop. So I try to get them to do it in the woods, but sometimes they'll do it right next to a trail and I'll have to figure it out. I'll either kick it off, you know, into the woods or whatever. But what's the deal with you? Is it okay to put dogs? So when you're walking a neighborhood and you got a handful of poop in your hand, I would think it'd be okay to put it in someone else's trash can along the street. What's your thoughts?
If you're walking past my trash can, you can put your dog poop in there all you want. Okay. I mean, especially if it's bagged up. I mean, there's probably stuff that I put in my trash can that's way worse than dog poop. So, you know.
That's true.
So I got no problem. Now, if everyone in town decides that they're just going to, like, come by the office or come by my house and, like, leave all their dog poop, then we will have a problem. But if it's just a random person, I don't understand the big deal. I think if people get upset about that, what's worse, like having unbagged dog poop on your grass or having bagged dog poop in your trash can?
There you go. Final question here. Donna in Orange Beach is moving to L.A., and she has to fly with a layover in Salt Lake City, and she wants to take her Labrador with her. Obviously, she can't take the Labrador on board. She's afraid. She's heard stories about how they deal with animals, the travel, and certainly with the layover, she's freaked out. She wants to know, should she drive her Labrador, or should she go ahead and take the risk and fly?
Well, I've never had a pet, so I wish I had some experience, you know, that I could give her, but tons of people do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had, I'll tell you, there was a family from Germany that flew over and lived. We took care of their pet for about 6 months. He was over from work, and a super sweet family and a super sweet dog. And as soon as they got here, they brought the dog in. It was, you know, had some weird stuff going on, and we diagnosed it. It had lymphoma. So it was just, you know, a terrible situation for the family. But, you know, we took care of this dog for 6 months while they were here, treated it for lymphoma, and our main goal was to get it home. You know, they just wanted to get it home to Germany. They wanted it to spend its last days there. They were going to have it cremated, and that way they could bury it in their house in Germany. So the dog lived. They were about to go back home, and they were really worried about the trip back. But they had no choice. So we gave the dog a little sedative, and they made it home no problem. So I'll tell her that if a dog on its last leg lymphoma can make it, you know, from Birmingham, Alabama to Germany, you know, I think that lab can make it to California.
There you go. That's a great answer. Hey, listen, I know you're on your way back from vacation. Welcome back to town. I'm glad you got a few days off. And I'm glad that your family's still down there. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. They're known for all their wonderful pets, their exotic pets. They'll do everything they can to make sure your exotic pet is happy and healthy for a long period of time. Check them out. They're down there in beautiful Homewood for nearly 50 years. And Seth's Toy Closet, he's got all kinds of great collectibles, everything from watches to all Star Wars stuff. It's all unboxed. If you find some stuff in your attic and you buy, sell, and trade, they'll do that. He travels the country bringing the best stuff. And he's got a brand new store he's going to be opening up soon. So we'll give you some details on that. Hey, thank you so much, Rab. We'll catch you next week.
Yeah, man. Sounds great.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.